Welcome to the Perfecting Your Practice podcast, where we will talk about finance for the healthcare professional and medical practice owner. This series is brought to you by Bankers Healthcare Group, the leader in financing solutions for healthcare professionals. Since 2001, BHG has worked with more than 100,000 licensed practitioners to help them reach their financial goals. Perfecting Your Practice is designed to talk about ways you can invest in your career and practice in order to set yourself up for success. Now here's your host, Chris Panabianco, Chief Marketing Officer at BHG.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. I hope you're enjoying the series. As always, we're glad you're tuning in. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, Mr. Roger Wollner. He's a financial writer and advisor and also a financial consultant to small businesses. Roger knows BHG. In the past, we've worked together and he's submitted blog posts for the BHG blog and he's just submitted some more. So we're very excited to have him back. Roger, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Enjoying the summertime. It's no longer freezing cold and 3 feet of snow in upstate New York. Much like Chicago, I think we're all very happy to be in the middle of the summer here.
Yeah, no, it's been hot here. Today is the first rain we've had in about 2 weeks, so we're kind of glad for it.
I hear you. So, Roger, please do me a quick favor. If you could, give a little background on you for our guests so they can get to know you.
Well, I started out my career in corporate finance, and after graduating with my MBA, and for about the last 20 years, I've been a financial advisor to individuals and corporate retirement plans. And about 3 years ago, I decided to switch careers a little bit again, so I scaled back my advisory practice, and I kind of jumped into financial writing, and that's now probably over half of my income. So I try to keep my hands in all those aspects, and I think they all kind of add on to each other, and I think I do a better job for each of those three types of clients based on doing all the other stuff.
Well, that's great, and we're very excited to have you. I know a lot of our listeners could really use the help, and they look forward to content like this. So we're going to jump right in. Today, we're going to be talking about business and financial planning and really planning for 2019. In your opinion, Roger, you know, is it too early to start thinking about 2019 yet?
Not at all. And, you know, I think the reason for that, especially on the financial side of the business, is the things that you would do now, even in anticipation of 2019, will benefit you now.
Okay. And your blog post covers a number of areas that medical practice owners should examine right now, but I want to focus on cash flow first. Can you walk me through that?
Well, cash, you know, whether you're in a medical practice or you make widgets in the Midwest or whatever you do, any business, the lifeblood is cash flow. I'm a sole member LLC, and the lifeblood of my business is cash flow. You can make, you know, depending upon your accounting system, you could be very, there are businesses that are very profitable and run out of cash. You know, it's much like your household budget. You know, if the money goes out faster than it comes in, you're going to have a hard time staying in business. You know, you either have to borrow the money or get it somewhere else or scale things back or go out of business. It's the lifeblood of any business.
Sure. Do you have any tips for really getting into managing your cash flow and understanding where it comes from? A lot of what you've said and written about, what are some things that our listeners can take to heart or take away from this podcast and really install in their day to day?
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple things. I think, first of all, you have to understand what drives the cash flow of your business, you know, and certainly in a medical or dental or veterinary practice. You know, you see patients and they pay you, but you also have expenditures for, you know, again, depending upon your in each practice's individual situation, but you'd have employees, you'd have rent, you'd have, you know, supplies, equipment, you know, what all the normal things. And when it comes to medical type practices, what I've seen is one of the things, you know, can deal with insurance reimbursements. You know, how quickly can you manage that process? How quickly does that come in? So I think the first thing you have to do, and I know I'm going to sound like the bean counter type that I am, is, you know, whether you set up a spreadsheet or certainly, you know, if you work with an outside accountant or you're an inside bookkeeper, you have to track your cash flow just as much as you do your profit. So, you know, look at, you know, what's going out and look at, you know, what's coming in and how quickly it's coming in.
Now, as far as the patients within a practice, you know, should you ask them to wait to be reimbursed by the insurance company? Is this a good idea, a bad idea? What do you suggest there?
Well, it's a good idea if you can do it. Certainly, you know, there are practices, you know, even physicians we use that will have you pay up front. There are others that, you know, will submit the paperwork. They'll have you pay and then they'll submit the paperwork. And there's still others that'll just, you know, wait for whatever reimbursement. I mean, obviously, you know, some of it's going to depend on your patients, if they are financially able to do it. And if, you know, if that's somewhat the norm in your area, that's easier to do. You know, if you have patients that, you know, either can't afford it or, you know, you're the only person in your region doing it, you might have more trouble doing that. That's going to be something that's going to be vary by each individual practice and certainly knowing your marketplace, so to speak.
Sure. Are there any other areas that you think you can really focus in on cash flow? We've talked about insurance. We've talked about creating these habits. What other areas do you think our listeners should focus in on?
Well, I think, you know, spending, you know, certainly to build, depending upon, again, the type of practice you have and what you do, there's going to be a certain base level of spending that you have to have. But then, as with anything else, there are the nice-to-have expenditures. You know, maybe it's upgrading a piece of equipment, and certainly you want to have the most up-to-date things for your patients, but I think you have to be, it's like anything else, you have to be reasonable about it. And you have to make sure that your revenues can support any expansions. You know, maybe you want to open a second office, but, you know, that might be a nice thing to do. It might be more convenient to your home or something like that. But can your business, which your practice, and, you know, I think you have to think of your practice as a business. Can your business support that?
Now, one of the things we hear a lot of is, you know, I'm being asked to do more. It's a common theme within the healthcare community. I'm asked to be doing more paperwork, more patients. I have less and less time to focus on my business. Can you give a few tips on that, or maybe your opinions on how you're seeing any of the clients you advise, what you're telling them when you hear that?
Well, the first thing I'm telling them is, you know, they should have, whether it's a business manager or a practice manager, I mean, I think those types of positions are important. You know, obviously, if you're, you know, it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. You know, sometimes they say, well, you know, my practice can't support somebody like that. And in my pushback is, well, if you had somebody that could help you focus on the business aspects and the, you know, the financial side of it, maybe you'd have, you know, maybe you would have the capacity to grow more. It's with any business expenditure, it can be a little bit of a risk if you're not quite there yet. But I think that practices definitely have to have that expertise in house. You know, even if you are the smartest person and you're great with numbers, you know, you can't be good at everything. And, you know, business owners, which again, dentists and physicians and veterinarians are, you have to learn to delegate at some point.
Sure. And I think, you know, what we talk about a lot is what healthcare professionals are taught in school and what they've focused on for years. Their time and expertise is not in that running the business side. Now, for every one of those, there are five that do run it well, but it can seem overwhelming. Is there any advice you have to get over that overwhelming feeling when it comes to their cash flow?
Well, again, I think, you know, like anything, you take a deep breath and step back. Certainly, I think it's imperative for, you know, almost any size practice, and certainly the bigger ones, to have some sort of outside, you know, certainly a good CPA is as vital part of your business as anything. And you want to have a CPA firm that understands your practice, and hopefully one that will, you know, is in the habit of providing advice. You know, getting an outside perspective, whether in any business, can always be helpful. You can be the smartest person, but if you're too close to something, what you said is exactly right. It can just seem overwhelming, and, you know, you want to, your focus obviously is on great patient care, but, you know, this is also a business, and this is also your livelihood, your retirement. It could be one of your biggest financial assets. So, you know, nobody can do everything well.
Understood.
You've got to delegate, and, you know, you need some outside. I think most people need some outside perspective, especially in this area.
What advice would you give if I own a practice, whether it's dentist, vet, doctor? What advice would you give me if I say, you know what, Roger, you're right. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find a CPA. I'm going to find that consultant that can come in and look at what I'm doing and help me manage this. What advice would you give them in selecting the right fit?
The first piece of advice I would give them is to take a step back, you know, do whatever you do to kind of clear your head, go for a walk, go to the gym, whatever you like to do, and sit down and just try and think of where they're having issues and what type of help they would need. I mean, it's obvious when you go to a CPA, you need somebody to look at your financials, that knows taxes. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but, you know, what are the areas of your business that are giving you some issues? What are the things, you know, you might like to accomplish, but you just don't feel you can focus on enough to really accomplish, you know, whether it's expanding the practice, whether it's adding, you know, maybe buying another practice, or maybe merging your practice into another, whatever those things are, or you'd like to be able to offer some different types of care related to your area, but you just don't feel you have the financial wherewithal to expand. Whenever things are on your mind, try and think of those first and go into the meeting or the phone call with that outside, you know, with that CPA or consultant or whatever. And you don't have to go in and have everything nailed down, but you should have an idea of where you'd like help, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I think it's something that any of us, I know that when I looked for my new CPA, it's overwhelming. I went to everybody I knew. Hey, do you have someone, you know, word of mouth? But then, you know, fortunately, I have a couple people I'm in business with, and they gave me a good recommendation. But it is overwhelming. You know, there's a sea of financial advisors. There's a sea of CPAs out there, and you got to make sure you find the right one.
You know, if I put on my financial advisor help, you know, having worked with a number of clients over the years, I always ask them, you know, they come in and they say, well, I read this and this about investments and all this other stuff. And I go, well, that's all great. And you're saying a lot of good things. But ultimately, what is your goal for the money? What do you want this money to do for you, whether it's retirement or your kids' college? And I think as a business owner, you know, money is great and business is great. But if you think of it in terms of your goals for the business, what do you want to accomplish by whatever you're going to be doing with the business, maybe that puts it in a little different perspective. And maybe the other thing, you hit on something that I think is really relevant. You know, it's great to get recommendations from, you know, other physicians or people you know. But at the end of the day, you also want somebody who understands your you know, the practice of medicine or dentistry, and you know, maybe focuses a little bit on that area. I mean, somebody who is the CPA for every steel foundry in your town is wonderful, but they may not understand the first thing about a medical practice. They may be a great CPA, but they're not a great CPA for your situation.
Yeah, I think that's very important. That specialty, or at least the understanding, is very important. As we get to the middle, past the middle of 2018, are there any other areas that you think people can focus on in their financial or business planning for 2019? We have a few months left in the year. What are some other key areas that they should focus on?
Well, you know, kind of going back to my corporate planning background of many years ago, this is about the time that many large companies actually start their planning and budgeting process for the next year, in this case, 2019. You know, I think it's a good time to reflect on and where your practice is, you know, what you've accomplished in 2018 versus maybe what you think you should have accomplished. And maybe you've exceeded those goals, and that's great. But, you know, and again, and maybe we're talking in terms of the financial and cash flow and that type of thing. But kind of take a look at where you are and, you know, where you'd like to be by the end of this year and into next year. And it's not too early to get started on that process. You know, if you don't have any sort of formal planning or budgeting process in place, you know, it's a great thing to start it for 2019, but why not start it now? You can reap the benefits, and it's never too early to, you know, be taking a look at your business. And again, you know, we talked about not being able to focus on everything, but maybe the flip side of that is, you know, especially if you find the financial part overwhelming, if you could do it in a systematized way, and again, work with your outside accountant, your internal practice or business manager, any of those people, and set up a review process whereby you can look at key metrics in the practice. I think this is a great thing to do for 2019, but if you can start it now, so much the better.
That's such good advice. You know, it's never too early. We look at that within our own business now. We've been thinking and talking about 2019 for what seems like 2 or 3 months. So this is all great advice. Roger, one last thing. What would you say is the most important thing you'd like our listeners to take away from today's podcast?
I think the most important thing is, you know, whether you're planning for 2019 or, you know, you're going to start some things now, you have to think of your practice as a business. You want to deliver the best care to your patients. I mean, that's number one, but in order to do that, you really have to run your practice as a business, you know, in terms of the services you offer, in terms of the market you serve, certainly in terms of managing your cash flow. You know, and sometimes that can entail some hard decisions, as we talked about cash flow. You know, maybe you have to ask customers, or I should say patients/customers, to pay some or all of it up front. You know, you can still submit the paperwork for them to facilitate their reimbursement, but you know, sometimes you have to make tough decisions. But, you know, I think if you run your practice like a business, at the end of the day, you'll provide better service for your patients.
Excellent. I really appreciate that, and I think there's a lot our customers, here I go, now I said customers, there's a lot that our listeners can take away from this conversation. Roger, could you give me a quick plug? How can our listeners get a hold of you if they have follow-up questions or would like some more information?
Well, you can contact me via email, and it's rwohlner, rwohlner, rwohlner @comcast.net. That's my direct email. And certainly if you want to, you know, I do run a personal finance blog, thechicagofinancialplanner.com, where I write about, you know, retirement plans, finance, retirement planning, investing, financial planning, and those types of topics. So those would be good ways to reach me.
And excellent.
Love to hear from any of our listeners today.
That would be great. And we can't thank you enough. It's been a really great conversation. And again, there's tips that everyone can take away from this. And we encourage everybody to reach out to Roger. If you have any other questions or want to chat more, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to email me at chrisp@bhg-inc.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. That's it for today, folks. I really appreciate it. Take care.
For episode notes and worksheets, please visit perfectingyourpracticetoday.com. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your peers. Thanks for listening to the Perfecting Your Practice podcast, presented by Bankers Healthcare Group, the leading provider of financial solutions for healthcare professionals. To learn more about BHG's working capital loans, business startup loans, credit cards, and patient financing, visit bankershealthcaregroup.com.